Luke chapter 9 today. And Father, we need to hear from you today. We don't need to hear from me and we don't hear from man. Father, we need you to speak in our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, one word from your Spirit is, it's dynamite, Lord. It's dunamos. Father, we ask for that word today, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will speak into the heart of every single one of us here today. And Father, we'll receive that implanted word that never fails, changes us, and empowers us, that destroys all darkness, disorder, and brings life where there is chaos, Lord. So, Father, anoint your servant today, Lord. Speak to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, from Luke chapter 9, I'm going to preach the Word of God. Now it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to him, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. Now it happened on the next day when he had come down the mountain and a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, Teacher, I implore you, look at my son. This is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. Okay, I want to preach and speak. Okay, yeah, preach and speak on particularly the first verses 28 to 36 there. A time where Jesus, he took Peter, John and James up the mountain and he prayed. It says as he prayed, his appearance was altered. He became white and glistening. Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. And it says that they were, Peter awoke and they saw the glory of Jesus. This is a time in the life of the disciples of Jesus. And it's a time where Jesus is actually, he's been with them 3 years and he's quite frustrated with them. There is a number of times he's been training them for 3 years how to be little Christs. That's what he was training them how to be, little disciples. Not just believers, but be disciples. And a disciple becomes like his master. But at this stage, the disciples' faith was still very superficial and it was defective. And often Jesus would, like at the end of this passage, when they came to a demon-possessed man, Jesus was not soft with them. He says, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I bear with you? And that's saying, he also said when they were in a boat and a storm came up, he'd been training them and teaching them to move in the power of God and to use the authority that they'd been given through him, but they never did. And he came, and when they were unable to rebuke the storm but became fearful, he rebuked them and said, how come you have such little faith? And that saying where he calls them a perverse and faithless generation comes from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish. It says, a perverse and crooked generation. And in verse 20, it says, I will hide my face from them. I will see what the end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. So God calls people of no faith perverse. And his people, when they acted with no faith, when they got to the promised land and they saw giants and they would not believe God's promise that the giants would fall before them, God called that attitude perverse. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And at this stage, the disciples were a perverse group. They're what I call unbelieving believers. You know, you can be an unbelieving believer. And so they've got no victory. They can't bring victory to other people. They can't do what Jesus was training them to do. In Luke chapter 10, you see Jesus was continuing the training. In Luke 9 and 10, he's continuing his training program. And it says that Jesus sent them out. He sent them out in twos on a training exercise, and he appointed them and sent them out. It says, the harvest is great, the laborers are few. I send you as lambs among wolves. And he told them to do three things: preach the gospel, cast out demons, and heal the sick in verse 9. And when they came back, they said, hey, it worked. In your name, it worked. But many times they just didn't get it. And up until this point, they were faithless and powerless disciples. And so what Jesus does for them, he actually, and it's interesting, he takes Peter, John and James and he takes them up the mountain. Now, Moses went up the mountain. And when the Bible speaks about going up the mountain, it speaks about a place of prayer. Speaks about a people who are hungering to get into the presence of God and to encounter the glory of God, because Moses encountered God on the mountain. And who did Jesus take up the mountain? He took these three. There were 70 basic followers of Jesus before his death, followers. There was 12 disciples. And there were three who were particularly hungry, three who were particularly committed, three who had abandoned all to follow Jesus: James, Peter, and John. And it's interesting, they're the ones that are used most by him in the book of Acts, because the currency of the kingdom is hunger. So these three men who really were keen followers of Jesus, he actually took them with him and he took them up this mountain. And in this mountain, it says that Jesus was transfigured. It was an experience they had. It wasn't a lesson, a head lesson. It was an experience that God gave them where they saw things that other people were not able to see. And it says they saw it, they saw his glory, and Jesus appeared in glory, and Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. What the glory is a manifest presence of God. And this is a kingdom of heaven experience in the Holy Spirit. And when they went up the mountain, whoever speaks when they're nervous. Some people speak when they're nervous. In this encounter, Moses and Elijah manifest, and Peter says, shall we build tabernacles? He says, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, Moses, and Elijah. And he says, he's just verse 33 says he didn't know what he said. So he's having this experience in the Holy Spirit where Jesus takes them up a mountain, and in the Spirit they see Moses and they see Elijah. And Elijah and Moses meet with Jesus. It says in Mark's gospel that they strengthened Jesus because Jesus was about to go through the cross. It's interesting. Moses, his life was taken by God. No one found his bones. And Elijah was also, his life was taken by God. And so these people both had their life. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. God took him. No one found his bones. Elijah was raptured. He was taken by God. No man killed him. And Jesus was, him himself was about to go through this same test, but something far greater, because God was about to take his son's life. We often don't realize Isaiah 53, it speaks about how God himself smote his son, because Jesus was about not only to die for our sin, it says Jesus was about to become sin for us. So Jesus was about to go through this experience where he was going to become sin, and all God's wrath was about to be poured out on his son as he died and paid the price for the sins of the entire world. And he had this experience with two men who God had taken their lives to strengthen him. And Peter, John, and James were privy to it. And when they were there, in this experience, they saw Jesus. It says in verse 29, they went up the mountain to pray, and the appearance of Jesus' face was altered. His robe became white and glistening. And it's interesting in the scriptures, there's a few times where Jesus came to disciples walking on water, the road to Damascus, where they didn't recognize him, because his appearance was altered. And in the glory of God, in the glory of God, the appearance of people is altered. Not only is Jesus altered, but our appearance is altered. This is called a transfiguration. And the same word that is used for transfiguration is the same word used in Romans chapter 12, where it speaks about that we are transformed. And when we get in the glory, in the presence of God, there is something that just being in the presence of God does that only God can do, only the presence of God can do for us. Romans, or 2 Corinthians 3 says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's saying when we actually have encounters in the Holy Ghost, in the glory of God, in the Holy Spirit's presence, and in that place, the presence of Jesus is manifest, and we simply behold him. As we behold the glory, we are being transformed from glory to glory. In other words, beholding the glory of God is how you become godly. Beholding is becoming. So when we have a spiritual experience, we actually get transformed more into the image and the likeness of Jesus. As he was transformed and changed, so are we transformed and changed by the glory of God. And when they were up there, they had revelation. They had a revelation of Jesus that they were yet to see. And a revelation is not information. A revelation is when the Holy Spirit lifts a lid on truth that you are yet to see. And here they actually saw his glory. And it's so important that we be people of not just information, that we be people able to receive Holy Spirit revelation by being in the glory. Ephesians 1:17 says, the God of our Father, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, Paul says, I pray that he may give to you the spirit of wisdom in the revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. That means that God wants to open your spiritual eyes that you can see what you're really called to and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, he wants you to be able to see what you're called to and the richness of what he's put in you by virtue of the Holy Spirit. And when he says, when he sees that, you'll also see that you are seated in Christ in heavenly places. He goes on, far above every principality and power, might and dominion. And then he says, in verse 6, he goes on to say that you have been raised up together and made to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What am I saying? It says when you're in the glory of God, when you're in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit will give you revelation of who Jesus really is. And also that revelation will actually show you not only who is with you and who he is, but what you're really called to do as his follower, and also the power that is in you to fulfill everything he's called you to do. We're going somewhere here this morning. You just got to be patient. It's like a journey. So he takes him up the mountain for his experience. And he takes him up the mountain. And it says they have revelation of Jesus. And they are he is transfigured and he's changed. And they are also changed there. And there's a word there that says while he was staying, verse 34, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them and they were fearful. I want you to look at that word overshadowed. When we're in the glory of God, this is so important to know. When you get into that place of the Holy Spirit's presence, there's something that happens to you that's so important. You get overshadowed. You know what overshadowed means? We go to the book of Acts. It's very important. People often don't understand this. But Peter was in the glory and he got overshadowed. And in Acts chapter 5, it says, the believers were increasingly added, verse 14, to the Lord, multitudes of them. The church was growing, both men and women. And then they brought the sick out in the streets and laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. Luke 1:34 says this, an angel came to Mary and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you and you will be impregnated with the Son. In other words, how did Mary conceive supernaturally the Messiah? How did that miracle happen? The Holy Spirit came and overshadowed her. How was Peter able to heal people? There's no power in a human shadow. It says they laid people in the street that he shadowed because Peter himself had been overshadowed. This is what the Bible speaks about, the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're in the glory of God, when we sit in the presence of God, we not only receive revelation of Jesus, but we become overshadowed with the power of God. The power of God actually gets upon our life so we can actually carry the power of God into other places. Now, what's wrong with the church today? I'm speaking today about not intellectual hearing. I'm speaking about a spiritual experience. And spiritual experiences are very, very important. Jesus, because the disciples couldn't succeed, he gave them this experience. He led them into an experience with the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. He led them up the mountain to have this experience. But the experience has a purpose. The purpose in the church today, we want to have soaking meetings that go on forever. We want to turn every experience and encounter with God all about us. We want to get into the presence of God and say, what did you discover? I just discovered that God loves me. Yes, you will discover God loves you because the Holy Spirit said in that place, I am well pleased with you. But it doesn't stop there. The church is turning our hunger for God. We've actually perverting. People say there was a move of God in the 90s, but it didn't go anywhere because it was just meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, and it missed the purpose. And I'm concerned today that the church wants to have experiences and make them simply all about us. But I want to tell you, there is a purpose God has. There is a purpose God has. And this is why we need to have experience. And this is what the point of experiences in the glory of God is. I believe God wants to bring his glory back into the church. I believe the glory of God is coming back into the church like we have never experienced, because the Bible says the latter glory, the glory of the latter days will be greater than the earlier, the former. And so God wants to bring us into places where each of us have encounters with God in the Holy Spirit, which are profound and real, which are full of revelation. And this is why we need them. 1 Peter says this. 1 Peter 5. It says, be sober and vigilant, because the devil walks around looking to devour people. Looks to devour people. That's what he's looking to do. He's looking to devour you. He's looking to confront you. And the devil is looking to devour you. He's looking to oppose you. In 1 Peter 4, verse 12, it says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. That's a spiritual trial. Ephesians 6, verse 12, says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. John was just saying he had an encounter with the wicked one on his holiday. He was attacked spiritually. I want you to look at the word here. I want to teach for a second. Peter says this. He says, Lord, we're having this encounter. We're seeing Moses has manifested. Elijah has manifested. We're seeing the glory of God in you. Now, Moses is, everyone says this is about Moses. He represents the law. He does. And Elijah represents the prophets. So the point God's made in here is that everything the law requested was fulfilled in Christ. That's true. And everything that was prophesied about the Savior was fulfilled in Christ. That's true as well. All fulfilled in Christ. But something more here. Moses represents authority. Moses had a rod. God gave him a rod, and when he stretched it out and used the authority, the people were delivered through the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted when he used the authority. Moses used his authority. He threw the rod on the ground. It became a snake, and in the end, it brought deliverance from the people out of Egypt. So it represents the authority. Elijah represents power. Elijah could call down fire on a mountain. He represented power. And Elijah had a mantle and he hit the water and the river parted. So Moses represents authority and Elijah represents power. So in this encounter in the glory of God, they not only get revelation of who Jesus is, but they're also getting revelation, and God is leading to speak to them about authority and power. So that's what they're getting up there. They're getting all this revelation, the encounter, this deliberate encounter. And while they're having this revelation, Peter says, this is so wonderful. Let's tabernacle. The word tabernacle is the same word that's used when it says Jesus came and left heaven and dwelt amongst it. It means dwelling. It's a little tent. And he's saying, this is so great, let's just stay here. Let's dwell here in this experience. That's what a lot of people want to do. Want to dwell in the experience. But here's the thing. It's what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't let them stay on the mountain. He says the anointing will take you up, but it has a purpose. It has a purpose. God takes you up and he gives you experiences in the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God, in the anointing to reveal to you the authority and the power, the authority that's in Moses and the power that's in Elijah. They're both completed in Christ, and you are in Christ. You are in Christ, and you are seated in heavenly places already. And the purpose of the power, Jesus will not let you stay there. Jesus will not let it be turned into you. He immediately comes down the mountain into the valley where there is a demon-possessed person, and he brings deliverance. He brings deliverance. Church, we are called to be deliverers. We are called, we are delivered to bring deliverance to broken people. And God wants a church that is actually aware of the authority in the name of Jesus and the power that is available to us. And when we get in the glory, we get revelation of the authority, but we get overshadowed just by spending time in the presence of God. I want to tell you, you can come to church all day and wear out your four tires. If you've got no hunger to get into the presence of glory of God, nothing's going to change. But when you get in the glory, when you get in the presence of God, you get overshadowed. You get the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and that is upon you for a purpose. He's a purpose that you, having been delivered, may bring deliverance to tortured people. I tell you what, if you've been in the glory, you can face whatever's in the valley. Your marriage may be in the valley. Your kids may be in the valley. But if you've been in the glory, you're overshadowed, you have the power of your God. When you walk in the room, everything changes. Everything changes when someone is carrying the anointing of God on their lives, and it's not just for special people, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. And God is actually saying today, he's calling the hungry up the mountain. You know why you got to go up the mountain? Because what's in the valley is becoming more serious. The things you got to face in the valley are becoming more serious. See, when Jesus had the other experience, Jesus again had an experience where he heard his father. It was an encounter at his baptism. He heard his father say, "This is my son, my beloved son," just like he did on the mountain. And immediately he had that experience. He was led out in the wilderness and he faced satanic opposition 3 times. But he passed it. And here he was confronted by Satan in the form of a demon. But he was able to overcome, and Satan could never stand against him because he was a man who went up the mountain. See, when Jesus came down, the disciples couldn't bring deliverance. When Moses came down the mountain, the people were in idolatry and then in immorality. They're in the same region, the same geographical area. What's the difference? They didn't want to go up the mountain. They didn't want to get in the glory of God. They didn't want to have had no hunger to be in the presence. That's all the enemy's got to do to undo you. God is actually saying for the hungry, for the John, the James and the Peters, it's time It's time to come up the mountain. It's time for experiences in the Holy Spirit. It's time that He will give you in the Holy Spirit revelation of Jesus like you've never seen before. He'll lift the lid on new dimensions of who He is, what you're called to do, what power is really in you, that you are seated in heavenly places, that Satan is under your feet, and that you have authority to trample on serpents and snakes, and nothing will ever defeat you. But if you don't have that, what's in the valley is going to be too strong for you. You know, this is what happens to you when you've been in that place, the presence of God, the glory of God. In Acts chapter 3, you see a time where Peter was overshadowed. He'd been in the presence, and they brought great deliverance to this man who'd been sitting outside the temple. It's amazing. You know, this man was at the temple at the Gate of Beautiful. And you know, Jesus, he was a cripple, and Jesus went into that temple every day. Jesus passed him all the time, but Jesus never healed him. You know why Jesus never healed him? Because he left him for Peter. Peter and John were going to have the experience of being used by Jesus to bring the healing. That's why he left him there. And it says Jesus and Peter and John came to that man, and he asked them for money because they'd been overshadowed at Pentecost, because they'd have a revelation of the authority in the name of Jesus that they'd been given, because the power of God was upon their life. They said, "We don't have any money, but we've received something in the glory that's far more valuable. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And the yoke of paraplegic broke off his life right there, and he rose. And he rose. And then the people that killed Jesus heard about that, and they said, "We're going to close these guys down." And they tried to close them down. And they said, what do we do? Do we obey you? In Acts chapter 4, verse 18, is it right to obey you or to listen to God? "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Verse 13 of chapter 4, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." When you get in the presence of God, when you get in the Holy Ghost, the glory of God, and you've just been with Jesus, you've just sat in His presence, the anointing has come upon you, you become bold as a lion. And people see the difference because the glory gets upon you and they marvel at your likeness to Jesus. You know, this is what God's saying. He's saying that the church, God wants to give us divine encounters. God wants to give us experiences in our prayer closet where we're seeing the authority. We're seeing the richness. We're seeing the beauty of Jesus. We're seeing the majesty of Jesus. We're seeing the glory of Jesus. We're seeing that He is the one that willingly went to the cross and allowed His Father to smote Him for our sin. We're seeing all that in new dimensions. We're also seeing the authority that's in His name. We're having a revelation of the power that He's put in us. And there's a purpose for all that. There's a purpose. God has no plan B. God has no plan. God's plan for broken people, for hurting people that are in the valley, for tormented people that are in the valley, God's plan is you and I. There is no plan B. And He wants to give us these experiences, these encounters today, that we be strong to bring deliverance to broken people. Yes, we are blessed in that place. We are blessed in that place. But we are called as a church, we are called to exercise the ministry of deliverance. as a people. And that's not like that's not casting out demons and you know it can be, but it's not spectacular stuff. It's justly simple. People are in darkness. People are in despair. People are tormented. How do you bring deliverance? You just share the message of Jesus. He is delivered. When you share the message of Jesus, it's just about the power of God moves and sets captives free. But God wants to put in you. He wants to give you the understanding, the revelation of Ephesians 1:17 says, of the riches of your calling. It's not just to be a baby Christian our whole lives and say, oh, isn't it wonderful, I'm blessed and I'm prospered. That's all true. But the riches of his calling, he has put the Holy Spirit within you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. He is seated you in heavenly places above every principality and powers of darkness. Why? That you may trample on them and bring deliverance to people who are in darkness. That is your calling. We are his workmanship. We are deliverers. And I want to tell you, the most fulfilled Christians I know are not the ones who focus on my world is getting bigger. I'm getting richer because the ones that are most fulfilled are the ones that God is able, they're willing to be used to bring deliverance to broken people. God is so speaking about this today that he wants his church to be turned outwards. It is better to give than to receive. What did the man say to Peter? Peter said, I got no money. But what I do have, I got a calling, I got an anointing, I've been in the glory, I have the authority that the devil's running my feet and I'll trample on this thing and I'll set the man free. You know, you don't have to be a special Christian to do that. All you have to do is be intimate with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. They were bold and they shook the world. I could preach some more, but I don't want to. I want to just leave it there. We're going to have praise and worship tonight. We're going to have a prayer. You know why we have praise and worship tonight? Because it says when you praise him, you enter his presence with thanksgiving. Because we get in the glory of God in praise. We get in the glory of God. It's the glory that changes everything. I just want us to stand today. I just want us to stand. God wants to bring Holy Spirit encounters to his people. And they're coming. His presence and his glory. For those that long for more to be used, you know, not everyone went up this mountain. It was just Peter, John, and James because they yearned for all that Jesus had. They just weren't bless me Christians. They wanted all that he had. And if you want all that Jesus has for you, if you want all Jesus has to, just open your heart to him today. Just open your heart to him today. If you want all that Jesus came to give you. I want to tell you, he came to give you his very life. He came to reproduce his life in you. He came to fill you with the same power of the Holy Spirit that he was filled with for a purpose. And Father, for everyone here who's hungry for you today, I ask by the Holy Spirit you reveal to them their true calling, what it is to be a Christ one, the true purpose of why you saved us, Lord, what it is to be your workmanship, Lord. Father, I ask that you bring revelation of what is in us by virtue of the Holy Spirit, that who is in us, your word says the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now alive in me and it's there for a reason. Father, I ask, Lord, that you will bring your people in the evenings, in the mornings, in the Holy Spirit encounters where we will be overshadowed. We will know your power is resting upon our life for a purpose, Lord. And you'll bring us before people, Lord, hurting people, confused people, broken people. Lord, and we will not just walk by them. We will see that we have the answer, Lord. And Father, as we speak Jesus, captives will be released. As we speak the name of Jesus, Lord, yokes will be broken. As we speak the name of Jesus, hope will arise and destroy hopelessness. As we speak the name of Jesus, Lord, salvation will manifest. Father, I decree a season of Holy Ghost encounters for your people, that we will be so strengthened in your glory that your church will never be overcome by what's in the valley, that every situation and circumstance, that your people will be stronger, will be victorious, because we have been up the mountain with Jesus. Father, reveal to us. Reveal to us more of your love, your purpose, your power for your people. We're coming into a season. God said to me today, he said, you've had a season in this church. Many of you have been delivered. But there's a purpose in that. That you will bring deliverance. You will bring deliverance to those in the valley. Just praise him, church. Just praise him. Just praise him. Just what he wants to make you his hands and his feet. Wants to give you the privilege, such a privilege, of being used by him in this generation. There's nothing like being used by him. Some of you are going to bring deliverance to entire people groups. Some of you will bring deliverance to entire nations, because that's your calling. That's your purpose. That's what the anointing's for. It's to set captives free. Praise him for what he's doing. Praise him for what he's doing.